That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello and welcome to the Empire Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it's a slightly, definitely a bit of a downbeat bunch of Reading fans today after a 3-2 defeat to Blackpool at the SCL last night. How we managed to cock that up? Well, that's what we're about to discuss. I've been joined by Eric Ogard. How are you doing?
Hi, Paul.
And I've also been joined by Alex Everson. Hi, Alex.
Not looking forward to chopping this one up, really, Paul.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that is what we do here, isn't it? We look at the good times, which is sometimes at Reading. It's not that frequent, but it does pop up every so often. But, Alex, do you think that kind of result and performance was coming last night, or were you totally shocked by it?
Not completely shocked. I feel like there's definitely been little signs here and there that although we've been winning in recent weeks, we haven't necessarily dominated games. We do tend to, I guess, verge on the side of just winning. Barnsley, for example, at the weekend, it was a very tight game. And I don't think anyone would have been surprised if Barnsley had scored in the first half of the weekend, for example. It's just that we got the opener. And then Barnsley didn't ever look clinical enough to equalise. Fulham is an example. QPR is an example. I think there's a number of examples from this season alone where you can see that just because we're winning in a game, it doesn't mean that we're going to see out a game. And it's probably one of these kind of quirks of Paunovic, which we have to just accept if he's the manager. That we're going to drop points when we probably look like we shouldn't, like last night or against QPR. But in turn, we're also going to pick up very unlikely victories, like the game against Fulham, to an extent, the game against Barnsley. It may be that one less so, but certainly we're going to win games when we shouldn't under Paunovic as well, just due to the way that we play. And that we heavily rely on kind of sitting back and I guess rely on a fantastic performance from our goalkeeper, which is fine if it works, but it's not going to happen every week when you take the lead. Eventually, some teams are going to score past you and come back into a game, even if you are winning 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, even that, all we need is just a moment of brilliance. And we have seen that quite a lot in their games, haven't we, over the rest of the season. But last night, I thought Blackpool were very impressive. Now, I know it's easy as a Reading fan to sit here and slate our own team and say, oh, we didn't do this, we didn't do this, there's things we got wrong, which we did. We did do that as well. But what do you think, Eric? Do you think last night was more about Blackpool or more about our own issues?
I think it was a bit of both. I think you got to definitely give credit to Blackpool. They came with a game plan. They stuck to their game plan. If you think about it from a Reading goals point of view, there was one set piece and then a mistake by their defender, which let Puskas in. So it wasn't like we were outplaying them at all. Quite the opposite, really. Blackpool probably had more of a play. They had more possession in the first half, more shots, and then second half completely dominated. So you got to say, even though we were 2-0 up, it wasn't like a super convincing 2-0. And Southwood still had to make some really good saves in the first half. And, I would say, like, out of the games that I've watched, Blackpool are one of the more sort of organised sides and actually one of the sides that have probably outplayed us quite convincingly at the SCL, which is impressive. That being said, you could see that Reading sat back. They were very passive in the second half. They did look very tired, which might be a result of not being able to rotate with all these injuries that we have. People like Danny Drinkwater and Scott Dan not playing a lot of football for an extended period of time, and then being asked to play two games in a week might be a bit much. I don't know, but the players definitely looked like they tapered off in the second half, and it was like a real Jekyll and Hyde performance. Second half was one of the poorest I can remember for a while.
Yeah, they totally battered us in the second half. I mean, you just look at the stats over the whole of the match, and I went on Who Scored, and you looked at the action zone, 42% of the action was in our final third for the whole match. And if you look at the player positions, eight of their players are in our half. And if you flip that around, there's only two players who are just about in the Blackpool half, and that's Puskas and John Swift on the halfway line. I mean, you can't maintain games very often, Alex, if you're going to leave yourself in that position.
No. If you're going to sit back with essentially eight players behind the ball, yeah, it can work from time to time, certainly. But as Eric said, if you've got players like Scott Dan and Danny Drinkwater who haven't played that much football. I mean, Scott Dan has to an extent, I guess, but Danny Drinkwater hasn't played regular football for the best part of 2-3 years. And I don't think it's the first time that this has happened, but certainly last night, the second half, he just looked completely shot. Like, he just looked gone in the second half. But of course, the injuries that we have, there's not that many options to change the system. There's not that many options to change who's in the midfield at the minute. And essentially, it just gives the opposition that like free rein to control the play. And I, to be honest, I think it was very similar. It was quite a, maybe not very. It was quite similar to the Barnsley game. I think the second half, Barnsley were maybe not as dominant as Blackpool, but they definitely controlled the midfield for the first 15 minutes of that second half. Probably up until we scored. In reality, I think. And there's probably a case to be made that we're really missing someone like Andy Rinomota who can come off the bench and just give a little bit more energy in the second half to a midfield which is being asked to do an awful lot of work once we go in ahead in games.
Yeah, totally. Let's get back to the positives, if there are any from last night. We did manage to score two goals. Scott Dan scoring his first goal for the club there, Eric. Fantastic ball in by John Swift, who, you know, just does what he does. And then I kind of think that you think team's going to move on. We're going to do well here. We pick up a second goal not that long afterwards, but Dan looks good when he's fit and at full level, but the goal on its own, he couldn't do much better than that, really. He's a perfect header.
Yeah, it was a great ball in. John Swift, best player in the league, as we know. Yet another assist. Like, you can't rely, we always say you can't rely on John Swift to produce a piece of magic in every game, but he just seems to at the moment. And that ball in was quality. Scott Dan, really solid header as well, headed it down, it bounced, and keeper probably couldn't do much about it. He sort of got a hand to it a little bit, but I think you'd be harsh if you put any blame on the keeper for that one. And then, yeah, the second goal, great work by Puskas, who squared it to Laurent and who squared it again to Dele Bashiri with a bit of a tap-in. So, you know, two really good goals. But from a Blackpool point of view, you'd say it was two mistakes from them. One to give the free kick away and then to leave Scott Dan with a relatively free header. And the second one, the centre-half giving the ball away to Puskas. So, yeah, at that point, you're flying and you're thinking 2-0 up at home, cruise control, no worries.
Yeah, I was listening to it at home on Sky on the old red button action, and they said, oh, if Reading get a third here, this game's going to be really difficult for Blackpool here. Sadly, we didn't get that, but there were still warning signs from Blackpool, Alex. Even when it was 1-0, they definitely had opportunities, and it took a fantastic double save from Luke Southwood to keep us 1-0 ahead.
Yeah, the first save for this double save was a fairly long distance shot. It must have been 20, 25 yards out, but the rain last night must have made that a much more difficult save because it was very, very wet in Reading last night. Can confirm, having walked back to my car, I was absolutely drenched after the game. I cannot imagine having run around in 90 minutes for that. The first shot, it's a relatively good save from Southwood, like pretty low down to his right. It's come through a body, have come through a crowd of bodies, and he's managed to get a good palm to it and push it wide. And then unfortunately got another player, Jerry Yates, I think, comes in on the rebound. But like from where I'm sitting in the ground, it looks like a tap in pretty much. When Yates picks up the ball, Southwood's still on the floor. He's starting to scamper to his feet, but he's still recovering from the original save. The fact that Jerry Yates doesn't score and Southwood makes the save there is like kind of beyond ridiculous. I was impressed with the first save, but the second save was just, yeah, insane. I have no idea how he's managed to, you know, keep that out. Really, really good stop. And that was probably one of the finer stops I've seen from Southwood so far.
Yeah, and there was an incident not that long after that Liam Moore had to make an absolutely huge block for a stop Blackpool scoring again there, Eric. So when people say he was a kind of Jekyll and Hyde performance, the warning signs were definitely there in the first half that Blackpool were creating chances.
Yeah, I think maybe Jekyll and Hyde probably isn't the right comparison, because again, two single incidents for our goals, but actually the overall play and the better chances came to Blackpool. And yeah, the block by Liam Moore was a fantastic one. He came from quite far back and it looked like a certain goal, and he got in the way. And you'd say Liam Moore in the last few weeks has looked a little bit better next to Scott Dan, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think he always looks better when he plays along a more experienced player. It's like when Morrison first came in, he looks kind of transformed as a player.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We also go into the second half, so we're winning 2-0. We're looking okay. You're thinking, okay, if we get a third here early on, the game could be over. Well, that opportunity comes very early on for George Puskas. He's through on goal, Alex, and all strikers miss chances. But that was a big, big moment. Now, I'm not going to pin everything on Puskas's miss, because I get hammered for doing these in the chats that we have for EPR. But that was a huge moment. And I would exactly the same if it was a different striker, because even the Blackpool manager admitted afterwards, if you get the third, that's really hard to come back from. But is this a save or a miss from Puskas here?
I think it's probably a miss from Puskas. Watching it live, I thought Puskas had done a reasonable job, and the keeper had kind of like, you know, made a decent save. Watching the replay, I'm a little bit less convinced, and it looks like Puskas has tried to slide the ball underneath him and he's basically just smashed it against the keeper's leg. I do think the keeper does a good job for this. I can't really fault him. He comes out at exactly the right time, narrows the angle, and Puskas, it isn't an easy chance by any means for Puskas to score from that point. However, it's a one-on-one, and if it was any other striker at the club at the moment, I feel like I would have backed them to score. And it's only Puskas who I would have felt like it was only 50-50. If Zhao or Mate had got on the end of that chance, it feels like it's probably 3-0 and it's game over. I think it's unfortunate, because it's easy to look at it and say it's a big turning point in the match, but I guess it's a turning point because we've only created that's the only chance we've created for open play. If we'd created four other chances from open play, we might not even be discussing this chance. So a lot of it comes down to the fact that we just didn't create enough at all in the game. And, the Blackpool manager is right. If we had got a third, then yes, it's game over. But from a kind of the end result, I don't really think I would put too much blame on the one chance, but it's not a good chance to have missed.
No, I think to put everything onto that would be ridiculous. I mean, as Panovic said after the match, Eric, we collapsed after Blackpool scored their first goal. And I would slightly disagree with Panovic. We collapsed before that. It was definitely coming. Blackpool had a good 20 minutes on top of us, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think we collapsed way before that, and we were looking vulnerable. And it wasn't like they were sitting back and hitting us on the break. They were dominating possession, playing some really nice football. I think the Puskas chance is a good one. Like Puskas just needs a goal, doesn't he? He's just desperately short of confidence. If there's a more confident striker there, he takes one touch and then he has a shot, or he carries it, takes it around the keeper, you know, that type of thing. He got caught sort of in the middle. By the time he decided to shoot, the keeper come out and made himself big. And he needs a goal, like just something to bounce off his shin and bounce in or something to give him a bit of confidence, because at the moment he's just desperately short of confidence. You can tell. Alex is shaking his head. Do you disagree?
So there is this argument, I think, about Puskas that one, something has to bounce off him and go in. The issue that I'm like, the issue with that is he doesn't put himself in the position to ever actually have anything bounce off his shin. You never see him charging into the 6-yard box at a cross. You never see him trying to get to the near post. And that this is part of the challenge. Part of the challenge. And that's part of the frustration with Puskas at the moment is, yes, we do see him make these runs and the team don't always respond to his runs. And there's the argument that, yes, he doesn't always get enough service, but also he doesn't put himself in the positions to receive the ball often enough. Like yesterday, there was a cross in from the left-hand side and he was stood out by the penalty spot. And it was a great cross from Rahman, and he just was nowhere near it. And I'm like, if he attacks the ball there, he's got a good chance to score.
Look at other strikers that we've had through the years, people like Kermigan and Joao, and even back before that, people like Dave Kitson, Kevin Doyle, play in between the post, the width of the post. So you see good strikers do that, and they gamble on keeper spilling one, gamble on a defender missing one, and then you've got a tap. Like, we're not really seeing that kind of movement and risk-taking from Puskas. He just seems to be... He does seem to work quite hard. Like he runs a lot, but it's not like runs that create danger or create chances or create space for other players, for example. So it's definitely a desperately tough one. And you also got to say, like, the options to replace him. You got Femi Aziz, who's possibly better on the wing. You got Clark, who's just very young and very raw. So it's just it's a tricky situation. Like with Lucas Joao, in yesterday's game, you've got an outlet, you've got a player, you can hit the ball up to him and the ball sticks. Puskas is not that sort of player, so just adds more pressure. And I suppose back to the question that you asked, Paul, originally, yeah, we definitely collapsed before their first goal, but credit to Blackpool, they played well.
I mean, they had, what was it, probably two or three penalty shouts before they scored the first goal. Well, maybe not. I can't remember exactly the order of all of them, but it feels like there was two or three very early on in the second half.
Two of them were blatant dives, though, Alex. Definitely. Yes,
as you told me afterwards, they were blatant dives. I didn't really get the full view of them in the stadium, but like they were, I guess they were in and around the box enough to. They were in the position, right, to be able to. Pull off those dives. I don't know if that's
still, you're still worried. When you're a fan.
Yeah, I guess that's the point, right? If you're in the position to be able to dive in the first place, then you're at least in the right area of the pitch.
It's never stopped Andy Yiddum, has it? You know, he's a big fan of the dive as well, isn't he? So let's not pretend it's just one-sided here. But can we just quickly go back to Eric's point here about strikers? The amount of disrespect given to Yakubu not to be in that list. I just think we need to take a moment to respect that man. You know, he is an absolute lech. 100%. But look at when they scored their first goal, 69th minute, a little bit of luck. Obviously, Dan kind of is trying to get the ball over the bar, isn't he? But kind of heads it into the goal there. It's been given as a Dale goal because it was on target. No kind of issue there with Dan. He's trying to do his job. The ball's come at him. And as Alex just said, if you get the ball enough in that area, just on sheer percentages, you're going to get a chance, aren't you, Eric? And I think Southall would have saved the shot if Dan had left it. But that's easy to say. Very easy.
Yeah, I was in two minds about it because when I first saw it, I thought he might. But then when I saw the other angle, it was quite a solid shot. And I'm not sure Southwood would have kept out. Maybe. But yeah, I mean, there was no one marking this player at the edge of the box and he's had a free shot. It was just poor defending from Reading, didn't really clear it. And yeah, they scored. And then you're thinking, okay, here we go, 2-1. Are we gonna get back into the game or are we gonna fold? And unfortunately, I think it was the second one.
Yeah, I think I don't know what it was like for you, Alex, at the ground watching it, but I definitely felt watching it on TV that we were folding big time. And we've seen it before this season against Fulham. We saw it last season against Bournemouth being 2-0 up and then losing 4-2. I mean, Bournemouth is a bit different because Bournemouth are quite a good team. But I was very, very, very nervous. If we could have blown for full time at 2-2, I would have taken it.
It felt like once it got to 2-2, there was only ever one winner, realistically. I mean, the second goal came very quickly after the first goal, didn't it? I think it was only about 3 or 4 minutes after the first goal went in. And the goal itself, it's a good header by Yates, who got a lot of stick from the crowd last night. But gave it back at the end as well after he scored the penalty. But yeah, the second goal, it was a good goal from Blackpool. A decent cross, and it was literally the perfect cross because it went right in between Scott Dan and Raman and Yates. From where I saw it, the way he moved in, I was convinced he must have been offside because he was in that much space. It was one of those goals. And I'm watching the replay. He's not offside at all. He's miles onside, and he just strolls in between the two of them. Neither of them know who's meant to cover him. I don't even think maybe neither of them really realised he was, a target for the cross. And as soon as the ball comes in, he's got a free header 6 yards out. And, however good Southwood is, that's going to be very difficult to keep out. And once it got to 2-2, Paunovic can try as much as he likes with that bench to try and change the momentum and change the game and change what's been going on for the first half an hour of that second half, but the depth isn't there. He's not able to do anything with what he's got on the bench, I think, there to influence the game enough. I know Clark came on like once we conceded the third, I think, but by that point it's kind of too little too late, really. It definitely felt like once Blackpool had got the third goal, it was all over. We didn't look like we were really ever going to get back into the game at 2-2. I know we were drawing them, but it never felt like we were going to be the team which won the game.
Yeah, as bad as that was, Alex, was that as bad as the tea that you were served up last night at the stadium?
No, the tea was probably worse, in all honesty. Yeah, definitely. Just as a tip for anybody who does buy tea or coffee at the stadium, I would just make sure you check your milk before you put it in because, yeah, the one I had was fairly solid last night, which wasn't great.
Oh, that is not what you want in milk, is it? Solid. I'd feel ill.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I felt it was inevitable that we were going to concede that third goal. I wasn't quite sure it was going to be a penalty, but I think the penalty, it was a bit sloppy. Maybe you wouldn't see that given sometimes, but it's been given. You have to deal with that. Takes the penalty well, Eric. Southwood gets a hand on it, but it's too much power on it.
Yeah, it's a good penalty. And, if Southwood pulls off that save, you'd say that's an amazing penalty save because it was a decent height for him, but it was still too hard and too far in the corner. And, gave it to all the fans. Obviously, I was watching on a stream at nearly 5 a.m. my time here in Singapore. So it wasn't, it didn't really cheer up my morning, should we put it that way. I can't imagine it was any better in the ground, Alex.
No. Although I must say there wasn't many people to leave last night at 3-2. Usually when we go 3-2 behind late on like that, I would expect a mass exodus. It didn't really happen last night, which was a bit of a change. But I felt like the mood within the crowd was that the goal was coming and that they were going to get a winner anyway somehow. So it never felt like it was it didn't feel surprising to anybody, I think. So it wasn't a case of venting or being that that angry about it, because it just had felt inevitable from the time Blackpool scored the second goal that they were going to go and get a winner.
Yeah, I just wonder how much of it would Panovic, as you, like you said right at the beginning there, Alex, you just have to accept this. You just have to deal with it and saying sometimes it's going to work for us. The classic example being Fulham, you score your goals, you sit back, and that's how it's going to work. It's very, it's quite Brian McDermott in that kind of style. We didn't play incredible football under Brian McDermott, but we counter-attacked maybe slightly more better than that. But we hung on in a lot of games in that season that we won the championship. And sometimes, even if we all look back, rosily back at that Southampton match, which we won 3-1, and I was there losing my mind, drinking far too much that day, and I can only remember bits of it. But just kind of wonder how much, if Southampton had scored with a goal, which they easily could have, that could have changed history completely. And sometimes you need that little bit of luck. And if Puskas scores that goal, you go on to win maybe. And everyone forgets that. But the issue is still there, Eric.
I was also at that Southampton game, but I drove, so I can remember it. And I would almost liken our side under McDermott to the Leicester side that won the Premier League. You know, two banks of four, two decent strikers, or one decent striker, and we had Noel Hunt, who's very busy playing it all over the pitch. And Leicester were quite similar in the fact that they hung on in quite a lot of games, but then they had that outlet, which was Jamie Vardy. And we were the same. Like, we were way more effective at counter-attacking than what this side is. This side is more about slow build-up or possession, or if it is a fast kind of transition, then it goes through the midfielders, normally John Swift or Ejaria. And slightly different there. But we tend to hang on. We have to accept where we are as a side. And I'd still say, you know, if we'd have won last night, we would have gone fifth. And after the start that we had, that's still pretty incredible. And we're going to have the odd game where we slip up because we're not good enough to just beat every single team we face. We're just not that good. We don't have the strength in depth. So even though we ended up losing the game, if you consider we're just outside the playoffs after the start we had, you've got to still try and take some positives from that. And you still, if you think back to a few weeks ago, there was a lot of people talking about Pauno out, etc. There's not that many people saying Pauno out anymore, and that's quite telling.
I think that's not going to be the last time that we give up a lead in a game where it feels like the game's already over, or the game should be over this season. We'll definitely do that again this season under Paunovic, because it's just, it's inevitable, I think. Just like we've said, the style of play just lends itself to that happening. So I feel like it's probably one, don't be too surprised if it happens again. You're going to see it happen again, but also we're going to get some wins when we probably just don't deserve them. So
it will happen way less often when we have midfielders like Drinkwater and Laurent getting tired, and we have Rinomota and Tetek and Delibashiru perhaps that can come in off the bench and actually inject some energy. And we just don't have that at the moment.
Yeah, I think players like Højlund and Halilovic are really big misses. I think they link the play so nicely and they've got the experience, especially Højlund. He knows how to antagonize championship defenders. He's absolutely fantastic at it and winning cheap free kicks. And last night we needed someone who could play up front and just win cheap free kicks on the halfway line. Even doesn't even need to be in the opposition. It just stops the play. We had nothing at any point last night that kind of stopped Blackpool's momentum. They just kept on going and going.
It was so sloppy. As soon as we got the ball out of our final third, the ball just, it rolled up to one of the midfielders or up to Puskás or Aziz, and we lost the ball. Like, the second half probably wasn't ever a period where we strung more than three or four passes together at any point and kept the ball for 30 seconds, and just puts your defence straight back under pressure, doesn't it? So it's not what you want, really.
And if you're thinking about positives as well, I'm trying to be a bit upbeat towards the end here, but when all our players come back fit, if they're all fit at the same time, Mate, Joao, Halilovic, Højlund, you know, Panama's going to have a real selection problem.
And even if they're not all fit at the same time, Eric, even if we just get a couple of them fit and you lose someone else, like we've got, like we're eighth and we've got a, what most people would say, a very injury hit squad. Like if we get all of these players back and we you know are firing in the second half of the season, we've got a really good chance to have a good season. I'm not going to say we're going to make the playoffs or get promoted or anything, but we've got a good chance to have a good season, certainly.
And we all know what's going to make the big difference, and Paul will agree with this. We're going to sign Yakubu in January.
Sign his son. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. And let's bring back the Vine video just for that one moment. I just want to see it. I just want to see the meltdown online when we sign Yakubu's son. So thanks a lot for listening, Matthew Williamson. We'll be back with the preview show. Might actually be out later today, possibly even. We will have another one podcast after the game against Blackburn Rovers. Quick prediction on that, Eric, scoreline?
Blackburn Rovers away, is it?
I've
got absolutely no idea, so I'll say a 1-1 draw.
Fair enough. Alex, what are you going to say?
Well, Blackburn lost again in midweek, didn't they? I will go with a 2-1 Reading win.
Yeah, I'm going to be blindly optimistic. Why not? I'll go for a 2-1 win. There always seems to be quite a lot of goals in games at Ewood Park. I've completely ruined that. Book yourself in for a 0-0 there. So thanks a lot for listening, and we'll be back soon.